I would ask you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 127 and keep a finger there, and then go to 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 127 and 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That song there, number 154, I believe it was, that'd be enough to invigorate a man to get up and preach Christ. That's powerful. Thank you, brother. I believe that's becoming one of my favorites. It's good to be in God's house and worship Him together with each of you. In the Sunday school hour, there was a lot about God casting away, but really God doesn't cast anyone away. I kept thinking of the verse there in John chapter 1, verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And so people really cast God away. The Jews did, and many Gentiles do as well. God is rich in mercy. Praise God for that. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, and His commandments, and His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue His word which He spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of David. Now Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of youth, thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's kneel for prayer.
I've been led to share another message in the series from Psalm 127. And the title this morning is A Powerful Archer's Leadership. From 1 Kings 2, the scripture read in the opening, David to his son Solomon, Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. David, writing a psalm, also said, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Real strength and might, as defined in these scriptures, is different than what the world defines as strength and power. What qualities does God use in a leader to build a dynamic Christian home? In Psalm 127, arrows represent children. A quiver represents the number of children in a family. And the mighty man represents the archer or the father. What about the bow? It's not mentioned. The bow, of course, is assumed to exist Otherwise, what would be the purpose of merely carrying arrows in a quiver? The bow, obviously, is required to shoot the arrows. No matter how mighty the archer, there is no way without the bow he could fling this arrow in the air and have it achieve any speed, velocity, or direction, much less kill prey or be used in warfare. The archer plays an important part, of course, in acquiring the arrows, in forming and preparing those arrows, in correcting any defaults, and keeping the arrowhead sharp. Yet, the mighty archer depends upon strength beyond himself to send that arrow to the intended target. The bow is not mentioned in Psalm 127, but the need for an archer to draw from a higher power is mentioned in that psalm. In the very first verse, we read these words, "Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain." Just as the mighty man draws back that string on the bow, a father must draw upon the strength of Almighty God. Because unless God is involved, human efforts become vain. The concept of the absolute need for God's grace and power must be passed on and taught to our children. They need to know that all their life long, they are going to require wisdom and guidance beyond themselves. The decisions and responsibilities of life require something beyond us. They're too big for any of us to handle on ourselves, by ourselves. We never become competent to handle life apart from the strength provided from above. It is only then that we can say with confidence, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." A father has many pressures due to his responsibilities. Each of these responsibilities place demand on his time. A father must work to earn a living for the family and often comes home physically and emotionally drained. There are always chores or maintenance projects that take time. And then it becomes a challenge to be involved sufficiently in the lives of his wife and children. In addition, fathers many times have leadership responsibilities in the church. As such, there are service projects to be completed, meetings to attend, studies to be done, lessons or sermons to prepare, or other responsibilities involved in the church. Men also like some time for themselves in a hobby or other activity. How well I know. In all the pressures and responsibilities, what is most important can be left undone and unattended. We need to, as stated in Proverbs 27:23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. What is the proper biblical way for a man to fulfill his leadership position? In keeping with the title of this message, A Powerful Archer's Leadership, I've taken the word leadership, has 10 letters, and with an acrostic, formed the outline for this message. It will be more of an overview, obviously. With 10 points, I can't go into detail extensively, unless you want to stay here for the rest of the afternoon. Even though you may be single, these points are important prerequisites for any future possible marriage. Actually, the subject applies to each one in the church, because there is always a supportive role to families that can be shared by every member of the local body of Christ. As I reflect back, this body has made a valuable investment in our family. From the bottom of my heart, I thank each of you who have helped me with home improvement and repair projects. Those who have encouraged and prayed. Those who have reached out and blessed us financially. Those who have helped in one way or another. For me to be a leader in my family and the church. You see, it's a cooperative effort. Letter number one in leadership is L. Love the Lord thy God. That belongs at the top of the list. And it's our responsibility to God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's found in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 7. And so the prerequisite for fulfilling our God-given responsibilities is that we first love the Lord with all our being. This is the only way any man can begin to fill and fulfill all that God requires. God calls us to be before we can do. It is more important who we are than what we do. In our society, performance takes precedence over character. But in God's realm, He calls us to be disciples before we can make disciples. Love the Lord thy God. Number two, letter E, exemplify godly character. Again, a responsibility to God. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Mighty offspring speaks of being influential in impacting the lives of others for good and for eternity. Godly character cannot be exemplified apart from love for God and a delight in the precepts of His Word. Our family will follow our words only if our words are illustrated by our ways. Be the kind of person you want your children to become. Exemplify godly character. Third letter, A, aspire to be a man of strength. Again, a responsibility to God. From the scripture read in the opening, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. This is how it's done, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies. The result, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. God's words to Joshua before taking on leadership apply to leaders and fathers today. We read in Joshua 1, verses 7 through 8, only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, in God's eyes and in reality, immersion into the Word is the only way we're going to succeed. Strength and courage paint the picture of willingly promoting God's ways and standing alone. And sometimes that takes more courage than charging ahead. Despite the pressure to cave and go with the flow. One of the signs of strong spiritual leadership is when a husband and father is willing to stand up for what is right and true, even though it costs him dearly to do so. Number four, the letter D, diligently teach and train. Here, we shift gears a little, and this is a responsibility of fathers to children. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, in this verse, are to take the position of being in the lead and not the position of being at ease. Even though certain aspects of the education of children can be delegated, it's God's design that fathers take an active role of leadership and oversight. And I might add a footnote here. I have been blessed tremendously to be able to serve in the role of at least academic education and hopefully education and character and encouragement in spirituality. Fathers have that responsibility, and that's not to say that mothers do not take a vital part. They do. But it is the responsibility of the father to take the lead and stay current with what is happening in the home when he is away. An absent father, in failing to be physically present, cannot fulfill his responsibilities successfully. Likewise, a father can be absent even though he's present. When he is distracted, uninvolved, and busy with other pursuits, even church responsibilities. So there takes a balance that only God can direct with each individual. Over the years, I never regretted the time I took out of my schedule for the family. Even though my other responsibilities demanded time and energy, but I do regret when my priorities were controlled by the urgent rather than the eternal. I remember on numerous occasions when one of our children would come in the study and ask to play a game or do this or that or read a book. And even though I was busy and wanted to keep working, I am so thankful for those times when I realized this is a priority. Or when a teen son or daughter came and just talked and talked, I knew I needed to listen. I regret the times that that did not happen in my responsibilities to teach and train. It's much better to give children experiences rather than things. Things such as expensive toys, electronics, phones. They all have the tendency, at least, to feed the carnal nature. And they do not satisfy their real need. Furthermore, to buy all the things, we need to work and work. We continue to work so that we can get more for our children, and in so doing, we end up with less time to give them. And what is more important? Experiences, on the other hand, teach them the bigger lessons about life, and they draw their hearts to fathers. Number five, letter E, encourage with kindness. Again, a responsibility to children. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. As we know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. Notice the analogy. As a father doth his children. The Greek word for comforted includes the aspect of encouragement. Fathers, we have the capacity to encourage and motivate through kindness and genuine praise. Although difficult and challenging, it's possible to express encouragement rather than annoyance in giving exhortation. As Paul reminds us in the verse I just shared, encouragement and praise cause children to want to please and be like you. Children will want to please only when they find pleasure in your presence. So you can become a source of their happiness if you want to keep their hearts. Number six, letter R, render due benevolence. Here is a responsibility, again, shifting in a different direction to the wife. 1 Corinthians 7:3, but let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. This verse instructs us how a partnership in leadership is supposed to work. Render means to do service for another. Benevolence, an act of kindness or a generous gift. Notes and flowers or acts of appreciation. So are doing dishes, hanging up the clothes on the line, running a vacuum, or peeling potatoes. Render, do, benevolence. Number 7, S, sanctify with God's word. Responsibility, husband to wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5, 25 to 26. The only way we as fathers can truly love our wives with a selfless, Christ-like love is by being in communion with God. Security for the wife will not be realized unless the husband is in the Word. Husbands can help cleanse their wives by sharing the Word, rhemas in the Greek, that God gives them. Spirit working through the Word. The husband also can share with the wife scriptures in time of need, such as apprehension or being overwhelmed or experiencing doubts. As spiritual leaders, we should take the lead in family devotions and spiritual training of the children. Letter H, honor the position of your wife. Again, responsibility to the wife. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Honor is esteem and respect shown to the wife, who needs to be in subjection to the husband, yet shares the same grace of life. Grace is the divine influence and endowment of power in our hearts and lives, a heavenly channel to us. And we are heirs together. There are not two channels of grace, only one. Offend or neglect her, and we will pay the price. Because we're only hurting ourselves. We have just blocked that channel. And our prayers are hitting an impenetrable ceiling. Fathers, sometimes a mother has a caution about an issue with the children that we don't fully realize. Maybe it's too hard to act upon, and they find it difficult to know how to approach the issue. But we can overlook a wife's cautions and requests on behalf of our children when it comes to the well-being. Spiritually. It was on a hot summer day in South Florida. A little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran to the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt as he went, and he flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming toward him. His mother in the house happened to be looking out the window and saw the two as they came closer and closer together. And so in utter fear, she ran toward the water, yelling to her son as loudly as she could. Hearing her voice, the little boy became alarmed and he made a U-turn to swim to his mother. But it was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached him. And from the dock, the mother grabbed her little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. And that began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was much too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by, heard her screams, raced from his truck, took aim and shot that alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, that little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal. And on his arms were deep scratches where the mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in her effort to hang on to the son she loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars. The little boy lifted his pant legs, and then with obvious pride he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my mom wouldn't let go." I'm thankful for my wife in the times she would not let go. Spiritually speaking. Number 9, letter I, inspire a spirit of unity and purpose. Here is a responsibility to the family. Joshua 24:15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Fathers, pull your family together and keep them together as much as possible. When the children were at home, we had always tried to avoid as much as possible activities that would scatter our family. Sit down family meals are relationship builders to inspire a zeal for following in God's ways, to aim for success in life, and to share lessons how children can avoid life's pitfalls is so important for a father. We need to inspire a sense of family togetherness and support. Many times, it will mean we get down there and help with whatever it takes to get the job done. A spiritual leader stays involved. Number 10, the letter P, protect from danger. Here again, responsibility to the family. When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Luke 11, 21. Keepeth means to be on guard. We cannot afford to go to sleep at our spiritual watchtower. The most valuable possessions by far are our children. The appeal of the father to the child is, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so, fathers, we have the responsibility to help guard our children from evil influences. Keep means to guard. And the defense system needs to be on the alert for intruding danger, for life itself flows forth from the heart. It must not be contaminated. Issues is a word that comes from the Hebrew, used in other places to describe the mouth of a river, a volume of water spilling into the sea. From out of our heart, our whole life springs forth in a spiritual sense. Guard it with great care, with all diligence. Just as a physical heart keeps everything else in the body functioning and living, so does a figurative heart determine the moral character and life of an individual. One of the most dangerous inroads the enemy can use today is by way of electronic devices. Teaching children from little on up how to guard their hearts is absolutely essential. You know, we as parents can set up safeguards and accountability. We should do that. And there are various monitoring tools available to parents, but ultimately, we cannot be there for every mouse click, every pressed link, and every inappropriate text or post. It is impossible to shield children from every magazine rack, video, or person with questionable character. The key, therefore, is to teach them how to protect their hearts when temptation does present itself. That is why maintaining a child's heart is so important. You then have access to their innermost struggles and temptations, and you can be there to help protect. Leadership. L, love the Lord thy God. E, exemplify godly character. A, aspire to be a man of strength. D, diligently teach and train. E, encourage with kindness. R, render due benevolence. S, sanctify with God's word. H, honor the position of your wife. I, inspire a spirit of unity and purpose. And P, protect from danger. Here's an account that may have happened more than once in the days of the Old West. A stagecoach with cargo and people was traveling from one western town to another, and the driver and his partner were visibly anxious because the area in which they were traveling was known for bandits. Suddenly, there was a crack of gunfire mixed with the sound of wagon creaks and horses' hooves, and with ruthless abandon, thieves shot and killed both drivers. took the money box and robbed the passengers. Then with sadistic glee, they loaded the passengers back into the stagecoach and with no driver topside, frightened the horses into a wild gallop. With the stagecoach careening wildly out of control down a mountainside toward certain death, one brave man pulled himself out of the coach and made the perilous climb toward the driver's seat. To the vast relief of his family and the other passengers, this father took the reins of the runaway stagecoach in hand and brought the coach to a safe halt just moments away from what appeared to be certain death crashing down the mountainside. That is the type of leadership that is needed today in our nation, our churches, and our families, spiritually speaking.
The saying goes that the largest room in our homes is the room for improvement. And I think if we are honest with what was shared today, we would, as men, recognize that that is the largest room in our homes. Amen. The other thoughts that sort of came to my mind as this was being shared is that as when men are young, at least if you're like me, you would think about how to be a man would be thinking about how to be self-sufficient and not needy. How could you be strong in a way that you don't need anyone else? And looking at it in a general way, the other half of manhood is really the female gender. God created it that way by taking from us in order to give back to us. And I had to think of some input from my mother under the acronym A, or the letter A, aspire to be a man of strength. There was a time in my life I thought that was pretty important, and when I would go downstairs to work out and come back up, and my mother would usually strike up a conversation with me, but one of the things that she would keep reminding me of is, I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Reminding me of the other areas in my life where I needed to work on strength. And moving forward in time and being married, the thought occurred to me under H, honor the position of your wife. I can remember, it's pretty early in our marriage, Alice said to me one time, she goes, you know, my contribution is not going to be sitting down and reasoning with you, because there's going to be some times where our reasons are not going to agree. But I do have something that you do not have. I have a woman's intuition. And I see some places in your life where you could benefit from that. And that certainly has proven true. There are some things that we cannot reason out, and that's why God has given us women, because some of the things that we struggle to reason with, they grasp very quickly and easily by their intuition. And I think also, as we are fathers and have children, if we are serious about this acrostic, children can give us very good feedback on how we're doing, if we're willing to receive that. Let's all stand for prayer.